You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, and anywhere podcasts are hosted. Today is Wednesday, February 3rd. And as usual on Wednesdays, we got our man, D9 Pietro, back in the building, doing some talking on the Steelers. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the fireback that we've heard about the promotion of Adrian Klemp to the Steelers offensive line coach position, including some of those comments coming from current and former Steelers linemen. Then we'll dive into Art Rooney's comments yet again, as Dean has a hot take of his own to talk about with those comments. And then finally, Dean had two teams he was rooting for in the Super Bowl to get to the Super Bowl, and neither of them came through for him last week. We're going to talk to him about how that feels, what his feelings are on Tom Brady. As you can imagine, they're a bit spicy. It's going to be a fun show today, so let's get into it. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Let's get into it. Welcome, everyone, back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Dean Pietro of Channel 11, WPXI in Pittsburgh. It's another Wednesday, which means Dean is with us again. Dean, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. I've had some fun interactions this week with folks on the Locked On Facebook page. I'm ready to get back at it and, you know, see who I can annoy this week. It'll be fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's a great group to be in. If you're not in it, you're missing out. If you want to join it, join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group by searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. Ask to join the group, and then I'll add you as soon as possible. We are over 1,100 Steelers fans strong, so it's growing every day. It's great to have y'all. But our first topic is sort of a build off of yesterday's topic, and it was because the Steelers announced, well, Ian Rappaport reported on Monday that, or excuse me, Monday, yeah, that the Steelers would hire Adrian Klemm to the team's offensive line coach. And of course, he was an assistant coach to the offensive line going, you know, for the last two seasons under Sean Sarrett. And then the Steelers announced it on Tuesday, making it official, and that he's been promoted to the team's offensive line coach. And that, of course, sparked a lot of different discussions. And I talked about it with Tony Serino on Tony Tuesdays. You could check that out back on yesterday's episode. But it sparked a lot of outrage on Twitter. A lot of people saying, like, oh, this is just hiring from within again. This is not doing anything. They didn't even search. No one wanted the job. All these crazy takes. And we joked about it yesterday, but I'm here to look at this again and be like, y'all got to chill, man. Like, some people saying that nobody wanted the job. Are you kidding me? You mean that nobody out there in the world except this guy wanted to be an offensive line coach for an NFL organization? That's ridiculous. And again, for people say that this is more of the this is just more of the same, and that you're just I don't get it, Dean, because before it was Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, they only get older coaches that have been in the NFL for a long time, and they just bring them here to be established and be good. And Mike Tomlin just lets them do whatever they want because they're old and that's what they want. Now it's they're getting young guys and they didn't even search for old guys. And it's like, well, what do you want at the end of the day?
Well, at the end of the day, they want the Steelers to be 16-0 and win every game 49-0.
There you go.
And then win the Super Bowl. That's what they want. I mean, anything short of that is unacceptable. Come on.
Now,
it'll soon be 17-0 when they go to 17 games. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm torn on it on, I see both viewpoints. You look at, okay, so Matt Canada comes from within and now the offensive line coach comes from within. So it has that on the surface of looking like more of the same. And I think part of that is accentuated by what we're going to dive into a little bit in the next segment and some of the things that Art Rooney said in his interview with most of the media. So I think that that's where some of that perception comes from. But at the end of the day, when you have assistant coaches, or if you have any job structure in corporate America, is your number two not supposed to be developing to be a number one?
Exactly.
Are you not supposed to be grooming that person along the way to take over when that opportunity becomes available? So they're saying he was successful at it and that he deserves the opportunity to fill that role. Okay, let's give the guy a chance. Look, at the end of the day, ain't nobody Mike Munchak and what he did with this group. And so, I mean, the offensive line needs work, to be sure. They also need personnel changes along the way with it. And so you got to start to look at what is he doing, not with the guys who are older and on their way out and maybe were more established. Maybe, who even knows, not as teachable compared to some of the younger guys that are coming along.
Now, that's part of the equation here is what can they do? What could he do with some of the younger guys? Now, there were some interesting tweets that came out from the Steelers linemen, former Steelers linemen and current Steelers linemen, in response to, you know, some of the tirade against this hiring. Trey Essex, former Steelers lineman, pointed out that often the assistant offensive line coach often works closely with the rookies throughout the week, while the offensive line coach works with the starters ready for the game. Dotson's performance this year without a training camp should give you confidence in Coach Clem's potential. That's Trey Essex pointing that out. Now, other tweets came out from Zach Banner, who's still with the Steelers. Well, technically, he's about to be a free agent, but it looks like they're going to resign him for cheap. So there's that. But Zach Banner says, y'all don't know Clem, and we do. And that's all that matters. Point taken. But then Ramon Foster, a recently retired Steelers lineman who was there with him in 2019, he says, no lie, Clem is the, in capital letters, best option. Having been around him, he's a guy who gets it and knows how to challenge everyone in the room with an ego involved or with an ego removed. Solid hire. With the room transitioning soon, he's the guy for the job. I co-signed this. Now, Clem does have a checkered past. He got let go from UCLA in the middle of a bunch of scandals and stuff. But for people to think that, oh, well, he worked under Sarrett, he's just going to be the same guy, that's not giving him enough credit. Yeah. Again, the fact that he worked with Kevin Dotson and that's his first like product that you get to see really out there, I think that should be encouraging to fans about what he could bring to the table.
I'll tell you this much. I would be more willing to, and I hate to use the word dismiss, but I'm going to use the word dismiss Zach Banner's comments.
Okay.
Zach's going to work with the guy. He would never say anything bad about him on Twitter. Okay. When a guy was just hired, if he was smart, and he's smart and he's not going to do that. So he's saying not what needs to be said. He didn't have to, but he's, you're never going to get anything, even constructive criticism or negative out of him because he's going to have to work with him. But Trey Essex and Ramon Foster didn't have to say a word. Okay. They did not have to say a thing. And both have obviously played the position in the NFL. And I'd like to think that maybe they know just a little bit more than you and I do about the position and about what goes on at an NFL camp. And
maybe
perhaps the average general manager fan that they might know a little bit better. Look, when I'm producing 11 on the Ice, right? Or the Jerome Bettis show, I don't tell Jerome what to say. Jerome's an NFL player.
Right.
He's going to say what matters. Mm-hmm. I don't tell Phil Bork what to say. Phil Bork played the game. He's going to help me along with what needs to be done in the show. I trust the people who are there, who have been through it, who know, and who don't have to come to the defense of something when they're saying it. So the words of Trey Essex and Ramon Foster carry a lot of weight with me in giving this guy an opportunity.
I agree with that entirely. Those two guys spoke very loudly. And I think Banner speaking up just kind of reminds people that like the Steelers, that like he's kind of the one Steeler that will tweet and say things. that they're seeing these things, and they're like, okay, we'll see how that goes. And who knows? Maybe it's a unifying point for the group. Maybe they work with Clemmy again. Clem's a former offensive lineman himself, a 3-time Super Bowl champion and a 2nd-round pick. You know, this is not a guy who's just coming in from, you know, stat land and just saying, hey, look at my spreadsheets here. And if you guys zone block more, it'd be great. No, this guy's come with experience and the knowledge. And if Ramon Foster says he can command a room, I think we should give that the benefit of the doubt. But we got to throw it to a quick break. When we come back, we got more to talk about on your Pittsburgh Steelers. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Dean Iampietro of Channel 11 WPXI here in Pittsburgh. Now, Dean, last week I didn't get to talk to you about this because it happened after the fact, but Art Rooney spoke, and he spoke a lot about what the Steelers need to do or what direction they're headed. He talked about the run game. He talked about Ben has to take a pay cut. He talked about Coach Tomlin sticking around and where the team needs to go from here. But you took exception to his statement that he would like to get, if he could, he would love to get the same roster back from 2020 into 2021. And that, to you, struck the wrong chord.
It did, because it tells me that you're satisfied with what happened. That's how it comes across. And I get this sense when Art Rooney talks at the end of every season, in fact, that he's kind of the calm down. All is well. We had a great season. Everything is fine. Dogs in there with the burning fire, but everything is fine. And I guess I just don't, as a fan, I'm going to say purely as a fan, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear.
So you want Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott, get him out of here. I don't like him. I don't. That's what I'm saying.
But I want to hear, you know, I wanted to hear, losing 5 of our last 6 was unacceptable, and we have to make changes to make sure that doesn't happen again. That's what I want to hear.
So when he said the running game can't afford to be the worst in the NFL, and he said that Ben Roethlisberger's got to take a pay cut, you don't think that that's what he was alluding to?
He may be alluding to those things, but you know what? He also said that they needed to run the ball more 3 or 4 years ago in his out end of the season interview. And did that ever materialize?
Well, also 3 or 4 years ago, they thought they'd have Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, but did it materialize?
No, it didn't. But again, hold on. That's ignoring them losing the guy who was averaging the most yards from scrimmage in the history of the NFL at the time. That's one thing that I think you got to take that into consideration when you're talking about that, because if you don't, then you're just thinking, oh well, yeah, run the ball with James Conner 1,000 times. That'd be great. And then that's where I think the problem would come in with there. Because again, Randy Feitner, as much as people will get on him for his lack of creativity and the way the offense was, he thought he was getting the killer bees. He never did, and he had to adapt to it. And he didn't do a good job, in my opinion, of adapting to it. But that is a heck of a hurdle to have to go get over.
It is. Okay. You know what? You want to erase that one? Fine, erase that one. But, you know, I don't want to hear that I'd love to have this same exact team back. No. Well, first of all, everybody knows you're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not signing everybody that is a free agent. You have 17 unrestricted free agents, dude. You're not getting them back. Tell me that you'd want them back if you could. So you're okay with another collapse after a fast start, after having 3 consecutive collapses? Well, are you okay with that? He came across as okay with where they are.
Not to me. He came across as acknowledging this year was crazy and it fell apart in the end, but there are several pieces on this team that you'd like to have moving forward. When he's talking about, I'd like to have the same roster again, I think that was in reference. And when I asked Dale Lawley, Brooke Pryor, when I asked people who were on the call, it came out like the reaction I've got a sense is that was more just talking about the defense, because that was the part of the team that carried the team in their win streak. And the defense, if let's be honest, if you took would you take that 2020 defense again, healthy, not Devin Bush getting hurt again?
Of course, healthy. Yes.
But I think that's his point, is that the run defense was one of the best in the NFL when Devin Bush was playing. When he wasn't, it fell off. They held it on together, but eventually it fell off. Bud Dupree and TJ Watt were the best pass rushing duo in the NFL. Bud Dupree left. Alex Highsmith did a good job, but they weren't the best pass rushing duo in the NFL. You take those two things and Joe Hayden off of the – so three key components, and Joe Hayden also, someone pointed out that he's getting up there in all-time pass breakups, which is insane to think about. You take those three components, major components, off of that defense, and yeah, I wouldn't take that same thing over again, but I think that's what his point was, is that, hey, there's a lot of pieces because obviously he wants change. Again, if he didn't want change, he would have said, hey, Ben, keep your contract. It's fine, man. Just make $41.2 million next year against the cap. And running game, you don't need to worry. You can be last place all you want. We're just going to keep throwing it 50 times a game. And defense, you know, I think that that's where he's obviously saying we need to change in this direction. And yeah, he said we need to run the ball more before. But they've tried to run the ball. James Conner's not a number one running back. Benny Snell ain't a number one running back. Anthony McFarland still got to prove that he's going to be a number two running back. And Jalen Samuels has been Jalen Samuels.
Maybe it's his delivery.
Maybe it is, but I think that's part of the Rooney's. People said the same thing to Dan Rooney when he kept Bill Cowher after he posted a 7-9, 6-10, and 9-7 seasons in a row. I think that's just what the Rooney's are. They keep it level. They don't react wildly and say we're going to make sweeping changes.
I don't need that, but I need them to. I need to at least have the perception given off to acknowledge that this sucked to start 11-0 and then lose five of your last six. Mm-hmm. And he gave off a perception like we're fine. You're not fine. You are not close to fine. You are in a division with two teams that lasted longer than you in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. With Baker Mayfield, with Lamar Jackson, with Joe Burrow, assuming he comes back from his injury, okay, and you have an aging quarterback and you have no running game, you are not fine. But you need to acknowledge it and you need to be forward about it.
If his approach was, we don't need to do nothing else, he wouldn't have said, Ben, take a pay cut. He wouldn't have said, we need to improve the run game.
Ben taking a pay cut has nothing to do with his performance or with the offense's performance on the
field. I disagree. If Ben had played at the same efficiency level that he had had in the first half of the season that he didn't, if he carries over the way he played in the first half of the season, when people were saying, should he be an MVP candidate? Because he was among the NFL's leaders in touchdown to interception ratio at that point in time. If he had maintained that throughout the year, that would have put the Steelers in a difficult situation because, one, they wouldn't have lost five of their last six. Two, they would have beaten the Browns because he wouldn't have thrown four interceptions in a playoff game. They probably beat the Bills both times in the regular season and the playoffs because that's what the team they would have played at that point. Heck, they might have been able to beat us two seed and have the Bills come back to Pittsburgh. That's the point there, is that they were waiting to see how Ben handled this season. As the season progressed, they saw that he didn't play well, and now it's like, hey, you got to take a pay cut. If he had played great, that would have put them in a bind where they're like, you know what? He is the straw that stirs the drink. He's the guy that threw the most touchdowns in his career and the least amount of interceptions and was immaculate, but he wasn't any of that, especially in the last part of the season. I think that's what they're saying is we can't bet on Ben anymore. And they've done it for years. They've continuously invested in getting him athletic tight ends, continually invested in getting him star receivers that can make big plays. They gave him the best running back in football for 5 years, the best receiver in football for 6 years, really good number two and three receivers for year and year and year, and paying those guys. And now it's like, okay, that can't be the emphasis anymore.
I just want to see more directness and more passion out of that. I want to see more of it. And I don't ever get the sense that he feels like anything's wrong with the team. I don't get that sense. You know, he says so much stuff that's between the lines, because everything that we said there is between the lines reading. He did not come out and directly say any outside of, well, not under the same contract. You know, he didn't say Ben has to take a pay cut. He just said not the same contract.
You know, what do you think that means?
It doesn't necessarily mean a pay cut. He could still get his money just spread out differently.
A restructuring.
He may not be taking any restructuring, but that's not a cut. He's still getting the money.
My point is that bringing down his cap hit this year, because he's
not worth
that. Of course
he has to bring down the cap hit. I think they'd be looking to do that regardless of how Ben played. But they didn't want to take a $41 million hit.
Okay, but no, because what he's talking about, what I see that there is saying, you're not, he's not, if they definitely would have said, hey, we're going to extend you out a little bit just to lessen the hit. But if he had played great, they probably would have said, yeah, but we'll only do it like $5 or $8 million, if that. Now they're like, no, this needs to be like 15-ish, 18-ish million dollars coming off of this season. And yes, maybe it just gets kicked down the line. And that's what that's what we're looking at here. But I think it's much more drastic because of the way the season ended. And that's, again, they are responding to that. But I've always appreciated the Rooney approach, because it reminds me of Tony Dungy. When things were going horribly for Tony Dungy, he didn't panic. He didn't look like he didn't like bang the table and do things like that, because he didn't need to. You just do your job. You go out there and you make the adjustments yourself. Actions speak louder than words. And I think saying, okay, offensive coordinator, you got to go. Offensive line, you got to go. There's got to be changes here. We're gonna see what this guy can do to the running offense, because when we were using his concepts early in the season, the running game was working, and we didn't have an offensive line we liked nor a running back that we liked, and now we're going to try and make these other moves. I think that is acknowledging change.
But here's the thing about someone who always is calm and doesn't pound that desk. Mm-hmm. The one time they pound that desk, it means something. But he never has. There's been an occasion too for Art Rooney to figure, let's use the term, pound the desk. Mm-hmm. But he never does. There's a balance. I mean, it's his way, fine. And hey, you're not going to argue with the success the franchise has had. I'm not arguing that. I would just like to, I guess, see it just more of a direct acknowledgement that and more direct language. We have to change the roster. Mm-hmm. We have to change what we're doing in the running game.
Now, here's another thing.
We cannot throw the ball 50 times a game anymore. Directly say those things.
Well, he said that the run game has to drastically improve. So I take that as part of that. But here's another thing. Would you rather your leader go out and pound the table in front of everybody, or be the calm and cool head collected guy out in front of everybody and then come back in the room and talk to, listen, we got to get this together? Because to me, when you present that you're on top of your game, when you present that you're level headed and it's like, hey, we know what went wrong, we're going to address things, here we go, out to the public. And then you go back into your war room, and then you really strategize and plan on what you want to move forward. To me, that's the better approach than putting your flag out there and saying, hey, everybody, this is what we're doing this year. We're absolutely going in this direction. So please plan around us doing these things. And instead, just come on like, hey, we're not panicking here, the Steelers. And that's what everyone sees. But in the back room, you are saying like, look, it's urgency time, because you know, if Ben sticks around for another year, he's got to take a pay cut or restructuring, whatever. He's making less money next year. And on top of that, we're emphasizing in these position groups because we can't operate this way anymore. And so anyone that thinks that we don't need to go down this line, see ya, bye, you out the door. But appearing that way, doing that behind closed doors, to me, is more important than saying it out in front of everybody.
It's more important. But once again, every once in a while, because you're not that fire and brimstone guy, Jerry Jones coming out every time, you come out that time once, your players will see that. Your coaches will see that. And they'll be like, oh, no, the old man's mad. Mm-hmm. And it'll make an impact. You buy that capital by being the calm leader.
Right. So do that then. But right now, they know what they need to do.
All right. Let's see if they do it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying let's see how this plays out. How much the money comes off of Ben's contract? Who gets extended? What ends up happening here? What does the roster look like? What's the emphasis in the draft this year? And how much of the offense does look different? Those are the questions that we won't know for another, what's it, February? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. I did my math on my fingers right there. But I think a lot of these things are just us looking at and analyzing from a way too far out standpoint. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. As a Steelers fan, you want to hear more from Art Rooney saying because you want to feel your pain validated, that they heard your pain when you lost to the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. I don't think Art Rooney's saying like, oh, that was a nice season. I think he's sitting there saying, these mother, okay. All right. Well, we got something for that. We got something for that. And again, you don't come out and say that. It's the same reason why I think a perfect example, and we'll close with this. A perfect example is Mike Tomlin after the Steelers beat the Chiefs in the playoffs a few years ago. Because we would have never known him that he called the Patriots assholes and what he was saying in the locker room. Why? Because he kept it in the locker room. He kept it behind closed doors. And the only reason we found out is because Antonio Brown was using Instagram or whatever that was, Facebook Live or some stuff. But we don't hear those indoor conversations a lot because that's who the Steelers have always been. They keep things private. They let you know. They let you know after the fact what they want you to know. And then if some things get out, some things get out. But to me, that's what has helped define who the Steelers are. And not just with Tomlin, Coward a little less because, I mean, he did let cameras in the locker room. But, I mean, Knowles, Steelers worked that way. They kept it. Dungy, I think, adopted that from the Knoll era, and that's why he worked like that as a coach. I think that that's where this comes from. So that's just me. But, again, I do think it's important for Steelers fans to have their feelings validated. Maybe you're right, or maybe they're right to feel that way. If you're feeling that way, let us know on the Facebook group. Again, join Locked On Steelers Facebook group. We're on Facebook. Just search Locked On Steelers. Ask to join it. You can follow me on Twitter. Ask Carter Critiques. Let me know what you're thinking as well. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we got more to talk about on your Pittsburgh Steelers. The only place we trust on the Locked On Podcast Network to place our bets is betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag today and set up for your free account. And use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. All capital letters, all one word. And you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit on betonline.ag. With the Super Bowl upon us, you don't have to just bet on who's going to win the game. You can bet on the over-under, how many points are scored, who scores first, who scores last, how many touchdowns will Patrick Mahomes throw, who wins the coin toss, who gets an interception, all that and more right on betonline.ag. And don't forget, when you sign up today for your free account, use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters and all one word, and you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On, that's LOCKED, Locked On, in their How Did You Hear About Us section so that they can know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today.
Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with D9 Pietro of Channel 11 WPXI. Dean.
Hi.
The Super Bowl is upon us.
And I'm in pain. Yeah. I'm in physical pain. I put myself through a table for no reason.
Ouch. Were you wearing a cheese head?
It lacerated my forehead.
Oh, man.
And I have third-degree burns because the table was on fire.
Oh, dude. So for those who missed it last week, D9 and Pietro was begging both the Bills and the Packers to win so we didn't have to hear about Tom Brady, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown all being in the Super Bowl while the Steelers aren't. Also include a few more former Steelers and Steve McClendon and Ross Cockrell, but that's another story.
Yeah,
those guys, no one like, hey, good for you. But Dean was really pulling for the Bills and the Packers. And they both lost. So he said he bought a cheese head off of Amazon. He put on that cheese head, jumped off a car onto a flaming table, and none of it worked.
All for nothing.
This is why I don't paint. This is why when I was a fan, I didn't paint my face because what happens when you lose, man? There's some extreme fans that I know listen to this podcast. When I was a fan, you know, when I was a kid and I was, you know, or even when I was in college and in law school and stuff, and I was going to games and things, you know, you wear a jersey, you wear a jacket, you wear some gloves, like, hey, I get that, you get your towel out, but it's a different story when you pay in your faith. Now, like, if we lose, I got to wear this stuff home? Like I look stupid. I'm sorry. And paint's one thing, but diving through a table is a whole other one.
Having table shards sticking out of your side when you're walking home is not a fun thing. And then everyone going, first, you know what? And this is a side note, and it just popped into my head. And this is the dumbest thing, I swear to you. This will be the dumbest thing I ever talk about. I am annoyed at the NFL because of their Super Bowl 55 logo. It is the worst logo that they have ever had. They have a Lombardi trophy in between the L and the V. Mm. It looks like 54 in Roman numerals, not 55. I see what you mean.
It is dumb. That is dumb.
It is electrically stupid. It looks like 54 to the point where the first time I saw it, I had to think, what Super Bowl is this? Because I thought it was 55. It is 55. NFL art department. Get it together. Okay, done with that. Now, I told you I was dumb.
I have to admit you were right. I didn't know where this was going.
Just little pet peeves. What I'm hoping now that we have Kansas City and Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Kansas City destroys their hopes and dreams.
He's not even holding it back. He's like, I'm not hoping for a good game. I want a good
game. Oh, no. I want a blowout. I want sad, angry memes of Tom Brady sitting on the sidelines to populate my Twitter feed.
Tell them how you feel.
By 9 p.m. on Sunday. Okay. And I want that more than anything to solidify Tom Brady as LeBron James.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going here. I'm going here.
Okay.
Because to me, the greatest of all time, the GOAT, is Michael Jordan in basketball.
Okay, okay. Because he went 6-0.
And in football, you know where I'm going because we've talked about it before, you and I.
Terry Bradshaw.
Joe effing Montana.
Oh.
My man not only never lost, never threw an interception in a Super Bowl.
That's clutch time.
Yeah. You want to talk about clutch, champion, and regular season performances? Joe Montana is the greatest of all time. So losing another championship, Tom Brady, will just help solidify what LeBron James has done in losing championships.
Now, to look at this straightforwardly, I believe LeBron is what? He has 3 wins and 4 losses in the finals?
I'm not sure.
I
just know he's lost a bunch.
Let's LeBron in NBA Finals. Let's look this up real quick. We're literally Googling this in the middle of. I made it to the finals. He's 3-6. He's 3-6.
Hey, but that's not good.
That's not good.
No. Now, you're not the greatest of all time.
Now, here's where Tom Brady comes in. I believe Tom Brady is 6-4. Or 6-3.
Okay. Sure.
But here's the thing. If he loses here, I believe that makes him 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
And he will have the most losses in the Super Bowl in the history of any quarterback.
Fran Tarkenton will have 4.
Oh, I forgot about Fran. I don't think.
And Jim Kelly.
But Jim Kelly didn't play in one of those, right? I believe there was one.
Jim Kelly played in all 4 of them.
I thought he was hurt for one of them.
Was he?
I swear
Tarkenton and
Tarkenton Kelly is correct. Tarkenton is correct.
But I swear they both did all 4.
But he will be tied for the most of all time in Super Bowl losses. And this is a common debate in GOAT arguments, which to me always get really stupid really fast.
They do.
Because yes, Michael Jordan to me is my greatest of all time, but I don't disagree. I agree with people who say LeBron James is great for other reasons because he did more things than Michael Jordan. I also think that Michael Jordan fit into the perfect team at the perfect time and was just a super clutch scorer for that perfect team in that perfect time. LeBron has had to bounce around. LeBron didn't get drafted into an organization that was on the rise at the right time. He was the Cavaliers. That was it. And I know that this is a Steelers show and it's a football show, but I'm coming back to this. But when he was drafted to the Cavaliers, he knew he had to leave the Cavaliers because they would never give them what he wanted. He did what Pirates fans hoped that the Buccos would do. He was like, listen, you have to stink for a long time, get your stuff together, and then I'll be back. He went to Miami, won a couple championships, came back to Cleveland, won a championship. Now he's in LA. No, I'm sorry. So now he's 4-6. I apologize because that article's old, because he won one in Cleveland, two in Miami, and one with the Lakers. So he's 4-6. I apologize. I was reading the wrong LeBron stat here.
He's almost 500. Okay.
He's almost 500. And with that, so Tom Brady's definitely 6-3. And it's funny, two of his losses are to Eli Manning, one's to Nick Foles. but this would be, I think it's safe to say Patrick Mahomes will be the best quarterback he's ever faced in the Super Bowl.
Easily. Yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson. Yeah.
Kurt Warner. But
yeah.
Right.
Short term though with Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner in that offense was one of the best that, you know, you could take that whole group, that might be the best offense that he faced.
But look, I mean, he won two Super Bowls on a kicker. He won another one on, who was Philly's quarterback?
McNabb.
On McNabb not being conditioned. He won.
That's a nice way to say drunk.
He won on a stupid Seahawks call. Okay, so that's four of his wins weren't really like, I don't know, Montana, Bradshaw even, you know. He's a great quarterback. One of the all-time greats. No question.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest.
Please. See, here's why I have to push back, just to be fair. Because I agree with you. If I was to take my top quarterback of all time, it would also be Joe Montana. My thing with Tom Brady is he is the best processor of the field that I've ever seen. And where I think you have to be fair to him is that nobody makes excuses for some of the games that Michael Jordan won in the finals where Steve Kerr was hitting three-pointers and not Michael Jordan putting teams away. Nobody makes excuses for any of the greats, whether it's Gretzky or Lemieux or, you know, just, you know, you go throughout any sport in any time and you say, well, this player contributed to this win, so how great is this other great player that you're talking about if they weren't the key piece that puts the game over? Like, people could say that about Troy Polamalu. Was Troy great because he never made a great play in the Super Bowl that put them over the top? Yes, Troy was great. He just didn't do it in those moments because the ball didn't get to him. And that's where I think you have to be fair is in Tom Brady's situation is that, yeah, sometimes the defense was the team that made the play that put the team over the top. Sometimes it was the kicker doing that after Tom Brady put them in position. And I still say you do got to give him his flowers for that. Now, where I push back on that, and those who have listened to this show for quite some time, I put asterisks on everything because I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. You're a three-time cheater.
Cheater.
And that's where I push back and say, well, all but the Rams Super Bowl, they were all one possession wins in the Super Bowl. And if they had caught, if you had not had the advantage of knowing what the other team was doing and spy gating and deflate gating, and then it was proven that they were still doing spy gating after they were caught the first time when the Bengals staff caught them, you know, looking at one of their games and filming their sidelines again. And that was just last year. It's crazy that people forget about that. When you look at that, that to me has a big impact on your legacy. The same way that some people try to put that impact on baseball players' legacy, but we won't get into that because Dean, he trust me, he's ranted to me about Barry Bonds quite for quite some time. But I agree with you that there's a sense that, you know, what annoys me is that when people say, like, it's okay if you think that Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, that's fine. And that's an argument just like LeBron and Michael Jordan is an argument. Yeah. But when people call him the GOAT and without saying Brady, like when they call him the GOAT on TV, that's where I'm like, I mean, again, you know, we keep forgetting these key asterisks that are just sitting there, and we act like they've never happened. You know, that's where I feel your frustration, D. But I also feel like you got to be a little bit more fair in saying, like, hey, he did do these great things. And time again, when it's on the line and Tom Brady's on the field, you know you're nervous if you were on the other team.
This is true. And all of that is true. And I'll be fair about all of that. And I still hope that Patrick Mahomes knocks his beep in the dirt.
Well, okay. Patrick Mahomes wouldn't do that. Probably D. Ford or Tyrann Mathieu or Chris Jones. But I
hope Patrick Mahomes finds a way. I hope he's like running to the sideline, runs him over or something.
Finds a way. Okay. On a scramble, he just trucks Tom Brady.
I'm going to get sick of Patrick Mahomes if he gets on to winning three or four. Okay.
See, I don't feel but, I didn't have my hatred of Tom Brady as a fan until I found out about the cheating, because I was like, man, there's great.
It's not hatred. It's the college syndrome. I'm tired of Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson. I'm tired of it. I want something new. I want something fresh. You know, I loved seeing Mahomes and Josh Allen going at it. You know, I've loved any time that the Chiefs and Ravens have played. I want to see Mahomes going against Lamar Jackson. I want to see Mahomes beat the crap out of Tom Brady. Badly. And they will, by the way. Tampa's going to go out to a 10-0 lead, and Kansas City's going to turn the turbo on in the second quarter. And then it's just going to be ugly after that. That's pain. It's going to be pain.
I was actually going to ask you for that. I was going to say, so what's your prediction here?
Pain.
Oh, you gotta, prediction? Pain. But no, in all seriousness, let's do that. I want your prediction. I'm going to give my prediction the end of the week with Jenna. Right. We got some serious stakes on the line there.
Yes, you do.
But also, someone said she's within a game of me. I'm confused. If I was up two games in last week and we both won and lost a game last week, how am I not still up two games? Math doesn't add up there. Joe Berkey, I'm talking to you. I'm playing. But in all seriousness, I should be up two games, right? Like, it should be clinched in mine. But for the sake of having fun, I will be willing to just give a game away and make this next week fun to talk about, because we can put it all on the line for who's going to win it all. But anyways, Dean, what is your prediction for the Super Bowl? Give me your final score and how you think – what will be the turning point of the game.
35-17, Kansas City.
Dang, that big? Dang.
Yep, yes, that big. And it will be in the second quarter with Tampa up 10-0, driving again. a Tom Brady interception, a pick six, turns the tide. And then after that, Patrick Mahomes starts to light him up.
Light him up. The way Dean says light him up. That's funny. light him up. I can see that, because that's the thing. When you said 10-0, that's what I bursted out laughing, because I'm like, this is what the Chiefs do. You get up early, oh yeah, we're doing well in this game, we have control. No, you're not. And then they just come back and they just throttle you.
It's like they're sitting there on the sideline going, looking at the score going, now? You think now?
Wait
now?
For it. Wait
another
for
one?
It.
Another one.
And go.
Go.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Just lighten them up. And then, like you said, it's light them up. Like, when Patrick Mahomes is on, I don't know what do you do? What do you do other than just, like, keep playing and just hope that you can score with them? Here's the one thing I think the Buccaneers have on their side that people aren't talking about enough. The Chiefs' offensive line is really beat up, and that Buccaneers front is really nasty. Shaquille Barrett, he's up there with T.J. Watt. JPP is a bad dude for a long time, and Ndamukong Suh has been playing very, very, very well. Devin White has become a very good inside, I'd say a very good to great inside linebacker. They still got Lavonte David. Their safeties are on point. And they got that offense. I'm not saying the Buccaneers are going to win. I just think that I'd give them more credit than a 35-17 blowout in this game.
I could have given the Buccaneers a chance if they were still wearing the creamsicle uniforms.
Oh, that's where you decided. Okay.
But no. Just no. That and Brady? No. No.
You silly. You are silly, sir. Well, there you have it. D9 Pietro has the Chiefs beating the Buccaneers in Super Bowl 55, not 54. Mm-hmm. 35-17. Is Patrick Mahomes your MVP?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, there you have it. D9 Pietro's prediction. Let him know if he's right or wrong in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Dean, thanks so much for being on the show as always. Let people know where they can follow you, find more of your work, and where they can hit you up and tell you, like, hey, I agree or I disagree with you.
And don't be wise, guys. Don't let me know after the game if I was right or wrong, okay? I know you guys. I know how you think. Don't try that. You can find me a lot on the Steelers Locked On group. Just tag me in a post or whatever, and I'll see it, and I'll respond to it. I did that this week. And I'm on Twitter at IamDean16, and producing the Channel 11 fun. Final Word will be live Sunday night after the Super Bowl. We'll have some fun, and we'll be talking about Patrick Mahomes being one of the all-time greats.
All right. My name's Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You follow me, I'll follow you back. Thanks to those who are supporting the show. If you want to support the show further, subscribe to us. If you're not already, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, radio.com now. We're on a lot of different places. So get us in your favorite app to download podcasts. If you want to support the show further, please go and check us out on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. When you do that, it really helps us out and gets the word out about what we're doing here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. And you get a shout out at the end of the show, just like this person did, because they left a 5-star review with a really great comment. This 5-star review comes from In the House in a Heartbeat, who says, Chris is a part of my daily routine. I thank you, In the House. I can't imagine my weekdays without hearing from Chris Carter and his cast of guests. Always informative, fun, and passionate, Locked On Steelers keeps me in the loop with all things Steelers football, whether we're deep in a playoff push or deep in a long offseason. Thank you, Chris, for the hard work you do. Thank you, In the House in a Heartbeat. That's a great review. Please leave your 5-star review out there to help us get up and show everyone what we're doing out here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. That's all we have for you here today. We're coming back tomorrow. I'm going to be doing a solo show. I might do a mailbag just before the Super Bowl. Yeah, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a Super Bowl mailbag. I'm posting that in the Facebook group tonight. So if you want to be get your question on the mailbag, get on the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. I'll have a post. It'll be pinned to the top. Ask your question in the comments, and I'll get to it on the Thursday episode before we bring Jenna Harner on for our Friday episode. Thanks again for Dean for being on. Be back in your ears tomorrow.